You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Are you worried about winter? All new and pre-owned vehicles include winter tire packages, tire wheel sensors, storage, and much more. They want everyone to get home safely. Learn more at Lakewood Chev. Check them out on the south side, just off 91st Street. The Rashawn Report, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton, St. Albert Trail, and 131st Ave. Cars you love at prices you cannot resist. It's AutoCityEdmonton.com. Ryan Rashawn, TSN, joins us. Shogger, the third period, wow. Didn't expect that, especially five goals in 10 minutes after none in the first 50, but it was quite the atmosphere in the third frame.
Yeah, I like that word, atmosphere, because the building was really into it. And, you know, the fans seemed to really respond when the Oilers came to life, the building came to life. And I think the players noticed it too, actually. So atmosphere in the building was good. The Oilers bounced back nicely. You know, had some tough luck not getting a few goals earlier in that game, hit a whole pile of posts, and maybe had a reason to feel frustrated, but stuck with it. And I thought when St. Louis started to take the game away, the Oilers seemed to get angry, and they fought hard, and they took it back. They weren't giving up those points last night, and they played like a team that just was not going to give those points away. So there was a resiliency in their game that is new in the last couple of weeks. And so good on them. It was a solid win, man. They put together a nice little run here.
Yeah, and tomorrow might get a little bit easier with Carey Price, although maybe that's harder because they light him up. But, you know, just like St. Louis played the night before, now they're getting a little bit of a break in the schedule. Montreal's playing in Calgary tonight. We'll come in tomorrow. They probably won't have Price. They don't have Shea Weber, and they really don't have any centermen, of real actual centermen. Like, that's definitely another winnable game for the Oilers.
Back-to-backs, right? So you got a team coming in that's tired, probably looking forward to just getting to the break, right? Out on the road, looking forward to getting to the break, and tired that the Oilers just laid a thumping on a short while ago here. So this is one of those dangerous games, though, where if you get too confident, or you look past them, or you lean back on recent results, or if you get away from realizing that you have to be part of making it happen instead of just thinking it will, because it has a lot lately, this could be a trap game. So I think they need to be really careful, and I think Todd McClellan will probably approach it as such. This is a total trap game, and so we'll see. Last year, the Oilers don't even leave a game like this to chance. They grab it. We'll see what this year's group does.
No reason to make any lineup changes on the offense. And the way, you know, like Mike Camilleri came in on, and nowadays, like, fourth lines are a lot different than fourth lines of even 5 years ago, right? You're not just energy guys. You look for them to contribute somewhat. And obviously, Cassian and Letestu got it going on right now. And, you know, look, Camilleri slides in. They score a massive goal for the Oilers in that game to tie it up. And then, of course, McDavid ties up, and then Kajula wins it. Do you like Camilleri in that role, or do you think he can last there on that line?
Well, I think he can bounce around the lineup, and I think that's part of why they wanted him. I think that's what they thought they were getting when they signed Jokinen, was a player who could play up and down the lineup and shift from one wing to the other, maybe play a bit of center. I mean, that's what they wanted to fill that spot with. And so when it didn't work out with Jokinen, he was just too slow to play in the league, they went and, you know, you got a guy in Camilleri that from a foot speed standpoint, is better. A veteran player, lots of experience, can play both wings. And if you want to, you can play him next to Leon Draisaitl or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and he'll get his looks. The play isn't going to die with him all the time. He's not out of place. He's not going to generate a ton of offense for you, but he can hold his own. Or you can put him in a fourth-line role with an energy player and say, make some plays with this guy and be good in your own end. And he seems to be able to lock down that kind of a role too. So this trade has actually turned out pretty good. I mean, there's a versatility with Camilleri, and he seems to be buying into being good to do whatever they ask of him. So far, so good for Mike Camilleri. I think the trade has worked out well.
Oh, yeah, it definitely has for him, and even for the Edmonton Oilers. Jokinen just wasn't a fit here in Edmonton. Different skill set, I think, than Mike Camilleri. For certain, Camilleri's definitely more of a shooter. There's no question about that. What Brandon Davidson last night, Ryan, it was interesting after the game, and of course he was on the ice for that second goal, and they were talking about the gapping on that second goal where kind of wide open up high. And afterwards, he was working with Rich Sutter for, I want to say, 35 minutes after the game, he was out there, and they were having a very animated conversation, talking specifically about that gap presence and working up. Struds had brought up the point that he goes, he wonders if, you know, if Davidson's like, hey, Sekera's back, Klepbom's coming, like, I got to ensure I play better, because Struds thought last night maybe might have been his weakest game as an order in his return.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he struggled. He seemed to have some nervousness in his hands, and he seemed to bobble the puck more than he normally does. He wasn't as steady as he normally is. I mean, he wasn't awful, but he definitely struggled as much as we've seen him struggle. So this is the thing. Maybe does he read the tea leaves a bit and go, okay, my spot in the lineup might be in jeopardy here? Maybe. Maybe that's something that's on his mind. I'm not sure. But guys aren't going to play great every night. And the fact is, Davidson had given the Oilers how many games in a row now? Has he been in four or five?
Seven last night.
Seven last night. So, I mean, he's given them some pretty good performances. And there are not many nights where we've said, yeah, Davidson looked like he was fighting it tonight. So, yeah, off night, move on. Whether it had something to do with Sekera being back and the idea of Klefbom coming back and then his spot's gone, maybe that might well be the case. Or different nights, different guys struggle, and he's played, I would say he's probably played good in six of those seven games to this point. So I agree with what Strud said. I thought he had that kind of night as well. But to me, he's earned, okay, off night for him, get him back in and let him have at her. By putting together as many good games as he's just recently put together, you earn that.
What did you think of Sekera last night?
Yeah, you know what? I think he did probably better than I expected him to do. I thought his hands were pretty solid. I thought that he skated really well. He didn't look tired. Now, he didn't play, you know, 20, 21 minutes. I think he was under 17, 16 something. But I didn't think, like, deep in shifts, I didn't think he was looking winded. I didn't think he was looking physically like he was fighting it at all. I thought he looked really good. And that, after a four-month layoff, a seven-month layoff dating back to when the injury happened, I thought that he was more polished than I expected him to be. So really good start for him, really good sign for the Oilers. I found it interesting, though, after the game, McLellan made a point of saying, sometimes the first one is the easiest one. And then after that, it starts to get harder, because maybe you're running on more adrenaline, or I'm not sure exactly what, what he was thinking would get harder for Sekera, but he made a point of saying, you know, the first one's usually the easiest one. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Sekera. The good thing for him is, so they had today off. Well, they were on the ice, but they didn't play. They play a game tomorrow. Then they've got a break, and then they come back and play again. So it's not like he's got to play three games in his first five nights back. He's gonna be able to have some recovery time, and I thought he definitely belonged out there.
Oh, yeah, I thought he looked fine. Struds actually mentioned he thinks if you're Andre Sekera after being out that long, you might want to get out and just get to the rink and skate by himself on the 26th.
Yeah, and exactly. You might want to do that. I mean, obviously you can't with the team, and you can't be in their facilities and stuff. I don't think. I'm pretty certain that they just have to be away due to the CBA rules. But yeah, I mean, probably would do him well to stay on ice in some way, shape, or form. And guys often do that, I think. I don't think that's rare for guys to go grab a quick skate, you know, whether it's just, you know, a workout and a skate or whatever over the break. I don't know that many of the players go the whole break that they have, even though it's a few days without doing anything at all. The Oilers have a weird schedule when they come back, too. I believe that they play
Winnipeg on the 27th, and then they got Chicago and Winnipeg at home, and then the Kings and the Ducks.
Now, that Winnipeg day, so I believe they are not allowed to travel on the 26th.
No, they are. They fly early in the morning on the 27th.
So I think they're on like an 8 a.m. flight the day of the game to Winnipeg to get there. Now, I think their plan is to have a morning skate. So they're going to have to fly early enough to get there in time to have some sort of a morning skate. Otherwise, they don't have any ice at all before they're just right back on the ice playing again. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, how they look in that game, because the schedule is tough for traveling teams coming back off of the Christmas break.
Yeah, no, it's not ideal whatsoever. You look at the order.
There was a team last year. Sorry to interrupt you. There was a team last year that got dinged for this. I think there was a team last year that might have traveled Oh, they did something and got fined. I can't remember. Maybe Chicago. Anyways, I know somebody got dinged for this exact scenario last year because of the how difficult it is to be the traveling team on Christmas break. So someone got hit last year.
Yeah, the Flyers a few years ago. Maj looked it up. It was the Philadelphia Flyers. So
there you go. Yeah.
Well, you know what? They do it in the preseason. I know it's only the preseason, so you know it's not the first time they've ever done it. And hey, guys, they'll be in bed. They're professionals. They all know what's going on Boxing Day night. And you know, because I think a lot of people, to me, it's just more so they get out a little bit of their comfort zone. But you know, you talk to players, and sometimes you'll play a back to back game, Schauger, where you play the night before, and then you don't get in. Depending, like sometimes those Colorado games or something, you don't get in till by the time you get to the hotel, it's 3:30 in the morning. Right. So they don't necessarily have a great sleep. So in this case, you know, go to bed at 10 o'clock, get up at 6. You should be okay.
Yeah. But what's interesting is it's very rare to travel on the game days. So, and especially if they do try and squeeze a skate in, which I don't know for sure if they're going to try and do. But to travel in the morning, so you've got kind of, you know, you got plane legs, even though it's a short flight. So you're up early on a flight, in the air, land. Get to the rink, skate, get to the hotel, quick rest, back to the rink, and you're off and running. It'll just be interesting to see if there's a lack of jump, or if the Oilers are suffering at all from that schedule. It's way easier to be the home team, where everybody just flies in, and they're good to go. So I remember there was a player years ago. Oh man, you know, it wasn't the Christmas break though. I think it was the All-Star break, where he made the mistake of catching the last flight in the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess none of the veterans pulled him aside and said, "Hey, never book the last flight out." And he got dinged, missed the flight, had to come in the next day. I think he got fined. Do you remember who it was?
I do remember the story.
Was it Gianni Rita, was it? Was he here long enough for it to have been him?
Yeah. I don't know if he was ever around the All-Star break.
It was a rookie.
Yeah. Oh, I remember the story. But, yeah.
Alish Pisha?
Yeah, it was somebody I thought coming. Yeah, well, they wouldn't have, because I don't know if would they have gone home to Europe just over the All-Star break.
No, no. Yeah. I think it might have been Pisha. Do you remember him?
Oh yeah, Alish Pisha. Yeah,
D-man, Alish Pisha. I think it might have been
number
him.
Eight. Man, he was a killer.
Yeah, which is a bizarre little bit of. I don't know if I'm right or not, but
yeah, because anyway. Like Pisha, I think played like 50 games for the Oilers.
Yeah, but I remember it was a rookie, and I remember thinking, you know, whether it was Ethan Morrow or whoever, somebody, the coach, the team services, just sort of say, like, hey, you know, double-checking guys' flights and making sure you don't take those chances. Those are little lessons that you got to learn when you're first in the league. So coming back off of breaks, you give yourself a buffer because, you know, sometimes things are out of your control, but your coach and GM don't care. You're supposed to be where you're supposed to be.
Schauger, have a very Merry Christmas. With all the kidlings at the Rashog Brady Bunch household. And we will chat with you on Wednesday.
All right. Sounds good, man. All the best to everybody out there. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to everybody, and to you and Trace and the little man. And, yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
And I look forward to doing my best Ryan Rashog impersonation for TSN tomorrow night.
So, oh, yeah. Right on. Thanks for filling in, man. Yeah, just babble away. No one will
buddy,
notice the difference.
Parker and I are going to have an ode to Rashog. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good, man.
Be awesome. Thanks.